So often I say the Holy Spirit's stealing my message, but guess what? He's already been speaking my message before I ever got up here this morning. From the time Kem got up here to do announcements, and then even Ashley and I, a lot of times we don't talk about today's messages before service, specifically because she flows in the prophetic so freely that I don't want to skew anything of what Holy Spirit's bringing forth. Let me tell you, everything that Ashley said, she had no clue what today's message is on. That's God. That's Holy Spirit. That's Him talking to us individually, but yet all together. And I have a feeling that today's message is going to hit home for so many of you guys, because it's something that's definitely hitting us. It's something that I've recognized seeing little bits attack here and there with many of you as well. If you guys want to start turning to Philippians chapter 3 this morning, it's where a majority of our text is going to be out of. But lately, I've realized how much of an attack we're under. Not just ourselves personally, but the church and the members all around. It seems like constantly things are popping up. Things that come up that try to distract us from what God has planned for us. It's been one thing after another for me, myself. I've used some of these in sermon illustrations throughout the summer, but I just started going through and tallying up how much has happened over just this last summer. And a lot of times I don't talk about it because I don't want to give the enemy any credit. I don't want to just feed his ego saying, yep, you screwed this up and I'm dwelling on it. But I started going through and adding it up. Two times I've had to patch tires this year, ran over something, had to put a plug in it, put a patch on it. My truck, twice I've had to have it towed home. Once I had to fix the wiring for the fuel pump relay. The other time, once I fixed that, a couple weeks later, the fuel pump itself went out. Then I found out how much of a joy that the engineers did not think about servicing the fuel tank, and how they love to put a little bracket for the carrier bearing right where the one strap is to make it even more difficult to pull down. I've had to replace the ball joints on my truck as well. Now that's just regular maintenance, though. It's got a number of miles on it. But then you get into it and you start fighting one thing or another and you spend a couple hours just on one. It's nut. Then you realize that the previous owner modified the wheel studs on the wheel, and now you have to look at what else you have to do differently. Just stuff that starts pushing my buttons. I know I talked about our mower and how the enemy just tried to get us discouraged with the mower deck breaking right off over the summer, right after we got 7 inches of rain, and so the grass was growing and growing. Popped a couple of tires on the bush hog as well. So we had a number of fields that were growing up pretty good there. I threw my back out, actually, and it sidelined me for a couple of weeks of getting other things done that I wanted to get done. Then I wadded up a chainsaw blade as well after the storms and had to order a new one of those so I didn't have an extra one on hand. And then most recently this week, my family's health was attacked as well. And then we got to deal with the school systems and everybody immediately assuming or wanting to rule out COVID. Don't get me started on that. Now, I don't say all this as a pity party. I don't mean to come off as a woe-is-me attitude, but I want to show all the little things that start to add up. You know, as one of my friends that I was talking with, he said all those little things are his kryptonite. Just kind of one of those things that it just really affects him and just really gets him all sorts of frustrated. And I think you guys can relate, because I think a lot of you guys have been having little things like that just constantly coming up as well. But I pointed out to say that we are in a spiritual attack. The enemy knows that God is speaking to us. The enemy knows that his best strategy is to try to turn up the noise and to drown out God wanting to speak to us. Get our attention off of God and onto what he's trying to do in the meantime. So he's increasing the distractions going on around us. But guess what? The enemy isn't very bright. You know, we're getting into football season. One of the biggest ways to try to combat an opponent is to figure out what strategies they use, what their tactics are. Because most people try to do the same thing over and over and hope it works. That's exactly what the enemy's doing, and we know what to watch out for. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said that we would go through things. And I think that's a lot of why Paul encourages us here in Philippians 3, starting in verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you also have us for a pattern. In the Message Bible, it says, I'm not saying that I have it all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself as an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is easy street. Paul's encouragement to us in this time is to press on, desiring what God has in store for us. Now, that phrase, press on, it's a distinct phrase. It means to run swiftly after, seek eagerly, to intentionally pursue, or to rigorously follow for. When it feels like we're in a race falling behind, Jesus wants us to pursue what he has laid up for us. He wants us to intentionally desire that he has what we need. He wants us to recognize his goodness that he intended for us to have. He knows that the state of discouragement is not the way that it should be, that there's hope in the situation. Not to get sidetracked. Now, you guys that know me, you know I'm very particular on some things. I can spend a lot of time trying to get one thing just right, trying to dial something in. If I'm doing trim work, like on floorboards and that, I can get sidetracked in a hurry and spend a lot of time on just something so simple. I see Ashley nodding her head. But sometimes I lose track that, you know what, that piece is behind a toilet. Who cares how exact it is? I lose track that the bigger project was the overall bathroom. I get so focused on one thing that's not quite going right that I lose track of the big picture. Sometimes that's the way it is with us too. We need to refocus on what the goal is. Refocus and look at it from a higher level. realizing that these little things are just that, little things. Jesus did not come to make our lives perfect, at least not in the way we see it. He came to have a relationship with Him so that He can be there with us while we're going through things. He is that solid rock that we're standing on. He wants us to run to Him when we have issues. He wants us to focus our efforts on Him, desiring Him, rigorously pursuing Him. Paul reminded the church in Philippi that he didn't have it all together, that he's no expert at it. But he does recognize something, that this is how he does it. He tells them to press on. Now, I'd be lying if I said that when something doesn't go right, that I just respond, "Well, praise God." No, sometimes I have some issue with some things. A lot of times I'm calm. I hold my cool pretty good. But other times I just get frustrated. You want to take that 3-pound hammer that you've got in your hand and just keep hitting what's supposed to move that's not moving. But the important thing is you can realize that it's a tactic of the enemy and say, "This isn't going to get to me." You know, there's a song that I sing a lot when things start going wrong. It's by People in Songs. It's called, or it's got a phrase in there that, "God's going to get my praise, devil get out of my way, because God's going to get my praise." And I just start singing that chorus over and over and over when things start getting to me. And the whole atmosphere shifts. See, because when I recognize the enemy's tactic, it turns right back on him because it just makes me praise God all the more. Because I know that he's got the eternal victory. I press on to lay hold of what Jesus has prepared for me. Calmness, provision, peace, joy. Things that don't make sense to have when things are not going your way. That's exactly what Jesus has for us in those times. Forgetting the things behind, reaching forward to the things that are ahead. It's one of the biggest things the enemy knows that he can get us with too. Continuing to engage the enemy even though he's in our past. Even though he's already been defeated. Sometimes as a Christian, we know that he's defeated. We're looking to God's goodness, but then we go back and re-engage with the enemy. The enemy's already in our past. As long as we can keep re-engaging with him and feeding back into him, instead of moving on and laying ahead, he knows he's just tying up our time. He knows that he's just tying up our mind. We're to press on, press ahead. Reaching forward. Returning to the past keeps us in the past. God didn't stop working when we got saved. He's working all the time. Miracles didn't stop when the disciples died. God continues to do them today. Our hope is found in pressing toward the continuous invitation to a personal Jesus. In verse 14 there, he had said, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You know, one thing I learned about Paul is that he uses sports analogies often. And this is exactly one of them. You think of running a race. You don't stop until you get to the finish line. You don't give up until you've reached the end. Your goal is to make the best time that you can. We're in a marathon, not a sprint. Sometimes we come out of the gate so strong, we want to defeat the enemy, we want to do so much, and then we burn out quickly. You know, last year I helped with Addison's school field day, and one of the events they had was a 400-meter run, quarter mile, one lap around the track. And the boys lined up first, and they took off fast. As many boys do, we want to try to outdo the others. And many of them, I would say, only got about a quarter of the way around the track before they gave up. They stopped running because they didn't pace themselves. They burnt themselves out. They didn't prepare themselves to look at the whole race. Now, personally, I don't really care for running. I don't think I did a whole lot of that since high school. I should run. I'll say you guys know how Ashley's cooking is, so. But I remember one thing when you're running. You're looking at that finish line. You're constantly looking at where you're going. Because the entire time you're looking at where you're going, you've got that desire, you've got that passion, you've got that want. You see where you're going. You push through. You don't want to quit. You don't want to give up. In our case, our goal is so wonderful. We've got the kingdom of God. We've got souls being saved, lives being changed, chains broken, captives freed. It's community with Jesus. And that's also our prize. We have a calling on our lives. We have a place in the kingdom. We have that upward call of God in Jesus. Our purpose should be to bring glory to Jesus, even when people test our patience, even when things don't go our way, because we reflect Him and His nature. When Jesus was here as a man, He said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Our hope is in Jesus. Our confidence is in Jesus. Our peace is in Jesus. That's where our focus should be, on Jesus. He's always there for us. He's always there with us. He is faithful. It should be no surprise when the enemy tries to attack. Jesus warned us that we would have tribulation. But His promise is that He has overcome the world that's given that to us. That because we have a two-way relationship with Jesus, because we dwell in Him and He dwells in us, we have made peace with each other, and we overcome the world as well. There's no limit on God. We'll focus in and cast off whatever this world wants. Jesus is the answer to everything. Every problem, the answer is Jesus. Focusing on the problem doesn't get us anywhere. It doesn't do anything other than frustrate us. Our eyes have to be focused on Jesus. Focusing on the problem will steal our joy. It'll steal our peace. That's why we focus on Jesus in that time. Pushing everything else aside, pressing in to reach Jesus. Something bothering you? Take it to Him in prayer. Take it to Him in prayer. When you take something to God and start praying earnestly for it, desiring it for it, it just releases you of so much. Tell Him what's on your heart. Claim the promises that Jesus made over the situation. quote scripture. God's word is true. There's nothing that can take that from you. The enemy knows scripture just as much as we do. That's why he's afraid of it. In verse 15 here in Philippians, Paul had said, "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." He's more or less telling them that this is a mature way of thinking. It's how seasoned Christians should act. It's something that should be demonstrated, not just said. If anyone thinks otherwise, if they don't grasp it yet, his hope is that God will show them, that they will come to the realization that they too can press into Jesus. It's both an encouragement and a charge here to press into Jesus because he's right there with us. Press into Jesus because no other method will work. God continually is growing us. He's constantly teaching us. He's always giving us instructions. So whether he's already taught you that, or if you're still learning, God's still speaking. Walk according to what God's shown you. To walk with one mind, one voice, as God has made us. To walk in unity with other believers. To show God's peace and love in our focus for him. If you're newer in the Lord, that's okay. Paul says to join in following his examples. You can observe them. You can observe them for a pattern. Our lives speak more than any words can say. When things go wrong and people know that you're calm as can be, they notice that. They might even ask you, "How is it that you are so calm?" Or I give it to you. This would be driving me nuts right now. Let me tell you about Jesus. He's so good. So faithful. You might ask yourself, so why is Paul talking about pressing on here in Philippians 3? Well, let's look at the first half of the chapter then to see that. Starting in verse 1. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted as loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, and if by any means I may obtain the resurrection from the dead." Long and short, Paul had concerns about the worldly influence that was working its way in there. They weren't focusing on Jesus like they were originally taught, like they once did. not to let others add to what God was instructing them to do, to have a bunch of things to do and get proud doing them, to add even more rules like the Pharisees did. Paul knew how they were because he used to be that way too. If someone could boast as a Pharisee, it was Paul. He was really good at being a Pharisee. He did the right things, or at least so he thought. He went so as far to try to defend God, to persecute the followers of Jesus, thinking that he was doing the right thing. But all of that was before he was transformed, before God got a hold of him and changed him. He doesn't claim anything of himself from before anymore. It was all worthless to him. That's the way we should feel too. The way we were before Christ, it didn't matter if you were good by today's standards. It's all worthless without Christ. Paul counted it all as lost. He referred to it as rubbish, garbage. Some translations, dung, manure. He realized that every good thing that he had came from Jesus. That he can't work his way into a relationship with Jesus. That he had to do it by faith and faith alone. And then by his faith, that he was able to get imparted the righteousness of Jesus in him. He was being a walking testimony of the resurrection power that's alive. His entire life he lived because of Jesus, because of that intimate relationship with Jesus. Our old selves died with him, and our new selves rose with him. You know, Paul wrote all this to the church at Philippi, a place where he was jailed. Remember the story of Acts of Paul and Silas singing hymns at midnight? That was in Philippi. So he knew a thing or two about things not going his way. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Even when he wrote this epistle, when he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, he was in jail. He was writing it from a prison. Yeah, he might know a thing or two about things not going his way. Well, that's exactly where we started. That's why he encourages them to press on, to focus the efforts on Jesus, to lean into God when things go wrong. God can teach us things even when things go wrong, if we're willing to listen to him and embrace what he has for us, to raise our hallelujah. Please don't get discouraged. Don't get wound up. Lean into God. Praise him in all things. God's wanting us to pursue him. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for that relationship that you have with us, God. Lord, that you are right there with us every step of the way, God. Lord, we recognize the enemy's tactics. We recognize what the enemy's trying to do to get us distracted. Lord, we cast off every distraction and we focus on you, Lord. Lord, help us be aware of the spiritual battle that's going on around us. Help us be aware of what the enemy is trying to do. Lord, we look to you for everything. Lord, we look to you through everything, and we just praise you for what you are doing. Lord, we recognize that you are the answer in all things. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.